Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. You're so beautiful, huh?
I remember, oh yeah, the signs of springtime. I tried to keep the past behind me, but she doesn't remind me she's gone. She's what I had dreamed of. She's all that I think of, yeah. Come on, the gospel. Everybody sing. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all.
Oh, this day. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls all over the world, put your hands together and welcome live on Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, Larry Cunningham of The Floaters. Hello, Larry. How are you?
Hello. How are you, darling? I'm fine.
I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. So let me just tell our audience a little bit about you. Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson welcomes The Floaters' own Larry Cunningham. Now let me tell you a little bit about The Floaters. This talented quartet from Detroit, unfortunately, became synonymous with the term one-hit wonder. But you know what? We love that one hit. But that one hit has kept them working for 30 years now and has given audiences around the world the chance to see their impressive live performances. The Floaters started as a quartet in the early 70s, and Larry Cunningham is going to tell us all about how he, Charles Clark, Robert Palmer, and Paul Mitchell all became known in Detroit. So tell us from the beginning all about you. But before I even have you do that, let me bring on the lady who holds me down, Daisy, the queen of diamonds brown from uptown. Hello, Daisy. How are you, sweetie?
Hello, hello, good evening. I'm good, I'm good.
Good evening to you. Yes, he is, yes, he is. Now, we know that you are the reason why we are so fortunate to have Mr. Larry Cunningham on Soul School Music. With Marshall Thompson. And speaking of Marshall Thompson, who we all know the Shy Lights are performing, and so tonight they are at rehearsal. We were not able to tear him away from the group, but we're hoping that he's going to slide in before we get out of here. So without further ado, we're going to find out all about how Larry Cunningham of the Floaters all got their start. So, Daisy, you ready to tag team with me, my sister?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready, too. And you know we're going to be partying off of Float On, Float On. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, now, you know what? This is how our guest introduced himself, and we're going to let him tell us about himself. But check out his introduction. Check this out, y'all.
Cancer, and my name is Larry, and I like a woman that loves everything and everybody.
Hey, well then, now you got your chance. Larry, tell everybody, when did you get your start in the music business?
Well, without revealing how old I am, let me just say that Motown was in its heyday in Detroit, Chess Records was in its heyday in Chicago. Stax wasn't even around. And the Floaters, like so many other young men in Detroit and ladies, wanted to emulate the Motown artists. And I went to a talent show at my elementary school, and there were five guys that just absolutely knocked the young girls off their feet. And the girl that was with me swooned, believe it or not. And I said to myself, oh, this is what they like. I decided right then and there I was going to be an entertainer. Yes, ma'am. I decided right then and there, okay, if this is what makes them swoon, then this is what I'm going to do. So
Wait, before you go on, now, yeah, he's bad out the gate. He's bad on the play yard. Now, what's the name of the elementary school, if you remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember, of course. I went to Kosciuszko Elementary. Theodore Kosciuszko was a Polish scientist that discovered a few of the craters are off of the moon. He was he's just a scientist. I forget his direct credentials, but he was a scientist that discovered a few things. And this school was named after him. This city that I grew up in was in the middle of Detroit, and it was basically a piece of Europe in Detroit, simply because there were Polish, Ukrainian, German, Russian families there, and my family was one of only three black families that grew up in this city, believe it or not.
Wow, one of three? Wow.
Three black families.
So your family.
So, go ahead.
So your family made history. No, I'm sorry. I want to hear about the history. So your family made history in what's the name of the small town?
Hamtramck, Michigan. Hamtramck, Michigan is 2 miles wide and 2 miles long, and it sits in the middle of Detroit. It's surrounded by Detroit City.
Yeah, I've been through there.
Wow.
Wow. That also is the home of Rudy Tomjanovich, who was a Hall of Fame basketball player, and he played with the Houston Rockets. He also coached the Houston Rockets, and he coached the Los Angeles Lakers. The home of John Brisker, who was the leading scorer in the ABA Basketball League before it closed. John also is famous for hanging out with a gentleman called Idi Amin over in Africa.
Yeah.
So this
we know Idi Amin.
Yeah. So this small town also turned out a young fellow called Ernest Harden Jr., who was the actor on Moving On Up. He played the Jeffersons' worker at their cleaners.
Let me just have you pause right there for a minute, because we want to bring on the last man standing of the Shy Lights, and we all know who he is, so give me one moment, and we're going to bring him in on this call.
Legendary supergroup formed in the late 50s as two separate groups, the Chanteurs and the Desideros, joined forces in the early 60s to become Marshall and the Highlights. In 1964, they changed their name in tribute to their hometown, Chicago, and became the Shy Lights. The hits started coming in 1971 and 1972 with Have You Seen Her and Old Girl, each selling over 1 million copies. In 2000, they were inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Foundation. In 2005, the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. And in 2013, the R&B Music Hall of Fame. Their music has been heard around the world, as well as movies. In 1996, they appeared in Original Gangsters, Only the Strong Survive in 2002, and recently, the movie trailer for the Disney picture Finding Dory. They continue to wow audiences worldwide.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson is Marshall Thompson. How are you doing, Godfather?
And pleasure and good evening. How you are?
Hello, MT.
I see.
We are blessed and highly favored.
You've been having a great time tonight. I've been listening to some of your stuff and this guy in. But, hey, you all carry on. But I got to get into the guys because I'm looking forward to the guys. They'll be in Las Vegas with me February the 10th.
Yes.
So let's see.
Well, Larry,
right.
Say
we'll
hello to Marshall Thompson.
I will.
That's
Hi,
right.
Marshall.
That's right.
How are you, Uncle Marshall?
How you doing there, Big Shot? Right on.
I'm fine. You know, I was just going to tell the story. I was just going to tell the story of when Toby was number one and you got out of the bed at 9 o'clock in the morning to come see some young fellas in Detroit that nobody thought had a chance of getting a hit record. But you came to school and watched us perform, and you said you guys might have something there. And I'm not going to tell how long ago that was.
Man.
Yesterday. It was just yesterday.
That was
1972. No. Marsha Thompson, do you remember that day?
They couldn't even stop their record. Their record was selling so fast and so much. Man, I told one of the guys in the group, I say, listen, y'all got to buy me some hamburgers or something all day.
Wow. Well, we know that they're going to be with you. Go ahead, Larry.
And before we let him go, I just need to tell him that I love him. I have more respect for him than a lot of people in this world, simply because, as I mentioned, he came to see us when we were just kids. Our backing band was Chapter 8, and Anita Baker was a female singer with her. And Marshall got up out the bed at 9 o'clock in the morning to come see the Floaters perform at a high school in Detroit. And we'll never forget as long as we live.
Right on. You better believe it. I had a great time doing it, and I had a great time watching you all song on everybody's radio. Everybody.
Thank you, Marshall. We love you. Thank you. We love you.
Yes, we do love you. Well, we're going to get the rest of your story. And, Marsha Thompson, you enjoy everything that you are about to embark on. We thank you for stopping in because we know that this is a busy night. Your 2018 tour date is on chi-lites.info for Marsha Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. And, Marsha, anything you want to tell everybody before you head out?
Well, to tell everybody one thing, you're listening to hear talk of a great group, the Floaters. The Floaters are a super, super group. Those guys came out of nowhere, went in the studio, and found them a hit record.
Thank you, Marshall.
Next thing I know, they're one of the records that played pop R&B just like the old girl did. It was everybody was playing their record. Every time you turn on the radio. I don't care what station you turn to, even the one over in Canada, that big station in Kit Kat, I think it was KCOL or something like that, and over in Canada. CKLW, that's what it is. And when you get on CKLW, you got a hit record, buddy. They don't
play
nothing.
You're saying something, that's right.
Wow.
Thank you, Uncle Marshall. Thank you.
Wow. Well, we're going to continue to capture his story.
Right on.
Go ahead.
Pleasure having him on the radio tonight, and a lot of people are listening to him now, and a lot of people remember him. And y'all keep on doing what you're doing, man, and taking care of your business.
You.
And we
y'all, we'll see y'all out in Las Vegas. You know.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Take care.
Right on.
Las Vegas, February 10th, the Shy Lights, the Floaters, amongst others. And so we are looking forward. Marsha Thompson, we're going to get as many jewels and gems out of Larry Cunningham. So when you come back and listen to this episode, he's going to tell it all right?
Right on. My name is Larry.
Right on, right on.
Y'all keep floating on, man. Y'all keep floating on. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, now, he's going to finish telling us about the talent show. Go ahead and pick up where you left off, Larry.
Well, one of the singers in this group that came to perform at this elementary school was Lenny Mays of the Dramatics. Lenny passed away from cancer four or five years ago, right before Ronnie Banks from the Dramatics passed away. But Lenny was a very good friend of mine, and I didn't even realize he was with a singing group. And when we talked after this talent show, I told him, man, I got to do this. My woman ain't come back to life yet. She passed out when you went to singing, and she ain't come back yet. And he said, Lenny Mays told me, he said, you know, and he called everybody cuz. He said, you know what, cuz? I'm going to come around your house tomorrow, and we're going to put it together. And that's exactly what he did. He came to my house that following day or two, and I went gathered up four of my closest friends, and I told them, we're going to put a group together. And they was like, man, I can't sing, and I can't dance, and I can't this, that, and the other. I said, well, nobody could originally, but we're going to make it work. And we started working. We worked. Sometimes we would rehearse. On Saturdays, we would rehearse at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we would rehearse till 3 or 4. We'd go home and eat. And we come back at 6 o'clock and rehearse some more. Well, that was in the middle 60s. And by the 70s, I had then changed about maybe 10 members of the group, getting better singers each time. But I always seemed to pick my friends because I wanted to have cohesiveness. But eventually, my younger brother, his name is Robert Cunningham, Robert wanted to put a group together, too. He was 4 years younger than me, and they wanted to emulate the group that I was in. And what happened was I started singing with older guys that were standing on the corner, and they would be drinking wine, and I would walk up and, you know, I'd just grab a note and start singing with them. And back in those days, you had to be on it, or they would slap you upside the back of your head, you know, like, come on, boy, that ain't the right note. And I learned from that. I learned from that standing on the corner. I didn't drink wine, don't get me wrong, but they drank wine and they sang under the streetlights, and the older people in the neighborhood would come out of their houses with their lawn chairs, and they would sit on their porches and stoops, and they would listen to us sing. Well,
wow.
The young guys that I was working with, teaching them what I knew, eventually became my group because the fellas that were my age, they didn't want to pursue this as a career. They started working at Chrysler's and Ford's, and I stayed in school, and I wanted to do this. So the younger members of my brother's group, I decided to enlist into the group, my group at that time, when I wasn't so much taller than them, which involved Paul Mitchell, Charles Clark, and the original member was Robert Palmer. Well, after about 2 years, Robert Palmer decided to go to another group, which is when we got Ralph Mitchell. Right after this, as I mentioned to you, we were performing all over Detroit. Motown was really in its heyday at that time. And Motown Records decided to move out of Detroit to California, which left a void in the music industry there in Detroit. but it also gave a lot of the other enterprising young companies a chance to shine because people were coming from all over the world enlisting musicians and singers from Detroit, as well as Chicago and Cleveland and Philadelphia at that time. And we were lucky enough to be singing at a small club in Detroit, and a gentleman came in, his name was Otis Smith, who was the first black vice president of a major record label, which was ABC Records. And we didn't even know he was in the audience. The following week, we were offered a contract at ABC Records.
Wow.
We didn't even know that he was there. The club only held 68 people, so it wasn't big as my living room. But we performed nonetheless to our best of our ability, and we didn't know that this gentleman sitting in the back with coveralls and a hat on was Otis Smith. Otis Smith later on revived the career of Patti LaBelle and Bobby Womack, and he also introduced Anita Baker, who was one of our backup singers with our band at the time. Well,
wow.
We got a record deal. We went into the recording studio, and it was a garage.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to sit outside because the Ohio Players were recording, and we thought we were finna go in and record, but we had to come out again because the Parliament Funkadelic was recording. That's how famous this garage was. And we
wow.
sat in the cold. This was in December. It was below zero. And the window of my car, the back side window was out. So we were freezing outside in this car. But we
right.
had so much love. We had so much love for this industry, and we wanted to be singers so bad that we withstood this cold, holding on to each other in my car until they told us it was time to come into the garage. And when we got into the studio, we stayed there 2-3 days, and we recorded the music that we had helped write with James Mitchell, who was Paul's older brother and was also a member of the Detroit Emeralds, who was a very good friend of Marshall Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have enough material to finish this debut album. But we had to work at the same club that night, and we were rehearsing in between the engineers changing tapes. And when we were rehearsing our introduction, the engineers stopped everything and said, wait, what is that? What is that you guys are doing? And we told them, this was our introduction. At that time, the astrology sign was a way to open the conversation. Everybody was.
What's your
everybody
sign?
Was good. Yeah, that's what sign you is.
I'm Taurus.
What's your sign?
Wait, what's your sign is?
What's your
sign is?
What's your name? Yeah, what's your name is?
Wow.
The engineer decided, hey, let's try and record that. And James Mitchell, he came with this bass line that's a very famous bass line now. But it had belonged to, believe it or not, Betty Wright. She had this
mm-hmm.
same bass line in Clean Up. If you remember that, boom, boom, boom.
Clean Up.
I got Clean Up Woman on 45. What you talking about? Yeah, that bass line.
She's a friend of mine now. She's a friend of mine, and every time she look at me, she just frown up. You know, y'all stole my bass line. Yeah, we did, Betty. We did.
Now you need to get her over here on the show. Okay, if you can hook that up, we'd be much appreciative.
Yes.
Please do.
Betty is a
ASAP.
She's a well-chased and wanted producer now. She's writing and producing for a lot of the younger people in this industry.
Wow.
At any rate,
uh-huh.
We didn't have enough material to finish this album. And the engineer, Richard Becker, who's passed on now, oh, excuse me. He decided, uh-huh. hey, let's try and put this on. And we did our introduction. And it was only 3 minutes and 57 seconds long, and it still wasn't long enough to have a full LP. So with his ingenious self, he decided to erase the vocals for the first 4 minutes and then splice the tape together with a razor blade back in those days.
Come on now.
And they spliced and taped one end to the other, which made Flow mm-hmm. On 11 minutes and 40 seconds long. And that
wow.
became history. It was one of the first disco singles, as they called them back in those days. It was
mm-hmm.
the first rap record. And we're still performing. That's been 100 years ago. The floaters are still working.
Wow,
yes, and that's
wow. Well, now, amen to that. Well, listen, we're going to listen to Float On, and then we're going to come back, and Daisy is going to pose some questions for you. So here we go, live on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, Float On, Larry Cunningham of the Floaters. Here we go.
Now I like a woman who loves her freedom, and I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby, come with me. Take my hand. Come with me, baby, to love land. Let me show you. My name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe. Sweet.
classic soul music. Right here, live on Soulful Music with Marshall Thompson. That was the Floaters with Float On. Marshall Thompson, myself, Beverly Black, Daisy, the Queen of Diamonds Brown, and none other than Larry Cunningham of the Floaters, right here live on Tribe Family Channel, Soul School Music. Y'all, are y'all still floating?
Floating.
That is a timeless jam.
Thank you.
It just came out today.
Thank you.
Marshall, say that again. Wait, let Marshall say that again. It does.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It really does sound like it just came out today. I mean, you could just vibe to that song. It is timeless. Marshall, when you first heard that song, what were your thoughts?
Well, when I first heard it, I knew it was a smash, number one. But I just wanted to watch it and see how far it was going to go. But when it crossed over, you know, to the pop side, just like we did when we had the old girl record, you know, I say these guys are gone. I mean, they played that record over and over. Every station was on that record. Every station.
Come
so
on.
That record was it was something else. That I don't know too many records that got the airplay that record got at that time.
And truth be told, I think I might have had the 8-track tape. I was riding around in my 74 Camaro in 75 with an 8-track tape, okay? And you had to push that bad boy in, and if you played it too much, you had to.
I had a boom box in my Cadillac back in the day, hearing them float. I was floating down.
In his red down Cadillac.
I'm gonna tell you where it really sounds real good.
So you remember Marshall came? I'm sorry, I gotta tell this story. When Marshall came to the school to see the Floaters, he was in a red Fleetwood with a white soft top.
Man, you remember that?
He let me sit in that car. He let me sit in that car, and he put Toby on. And I'm saying, you think, Marshall, you could take us out on the road with you? He said, well, we got the biggest record in the world. We don't need no opening act.
But now, you know what? It is awesome to hear the testimony that you just gave about the red Cadillac. Because I remember when I asked Marshall, I said, Marshall, when you got the first check, did you blow it? Or did you, you know, do right by it? He said, I went and bought me a red Cadillac. Now,
yes,
here we
did.
Have
yes,
someone did. That sat in that Cadillac besides Marshall Thompson. Wow. Now, Marshall, I know you had some questions for Larry.
Yeah.
What did you want to ask Larry while we're here?
Well, first of all, I remember the red Cadillac. When I first bought the red Cadillac, I didn't even know how to drive.
Wow.
I went outside, and I got tired of that. My Cadillac sitting in the front with my chauffeur always driving me around. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, I went outside and drove all the way around the block through the alley to learn how to drive.
Wow.
Kept going round and round and round. Next thing I know, here comes the car. I said, mister, I had to move it because somebody was trying to break in there. It was shining. That was a brand new. I said, I had to move it.
That was one beautiful car. I remember it had the 8-track. Now, Marshall, Eugene and Squirrel, they flew from wherever they were. Marshall drove his Cadillac to Detroit.
Yo,
I don't blame him. I drive a caddy too. What?
Let me tell you something. I drove that car all the way to D.C. on the show. I had Riggerman and Brown, which was the boy, the lead singer, Riggerman and Brown, and Harry Ray.
Harry Ray had
a girlfriend with him, and we drove from Washington, D.C., drove in my Cadillac, Harry Ray and me and his girlfriend,
We drove all the way to South Carolina in Maria Callas.
Wow.
That was great. Yeah, he drove it.
Had wow.
I was still, I didn't know about driving on the highway like that, you know. But Harry was very expensive. Harry took that thing all the way to South Carolina to the concert.
Well, now, let me ask you this. So you didn't take the floaters out on the road with you. You saw them in at the talent show. So, Marshall, the next time you saw the floaters on stage or heard about them on stage, were you surprised? Because, of course, you know, you all had your hits, Old Girl, Have You Seen Her, and Toby and what have you. Well, Toby at that time, like you were saying, and you didn't need an opening act. So when you saw them, and they were no longer an opening act, but they were the act, what did you say? Like, wow.
Well, first of all, you never know who's going to do something. Just like when I took Michael Jackson and gave him to Bobby Taylor, and he took him to Motown. I knew they was going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Michael Jackson was going to be that big. I mean, I played him in every club in the city of Chicago, Bonanza, Peyton Place, and all these places. But I knew he was good. But I didn't know it was going to be like that. But the floaters, you never know what somebody is going to come up with. I was talking to the Detroit Emeralds about the floaters. And I was talking to the Detroit Emeralds. I told them, man, how did these guys come up with a record like that, man? That's unbelievable, man. You mean, they told their own who they are, you know? Hey, I'm a Leo. I don't care. Who could have thought of something like that? That was nothing but a blessing from God for those guys.
Wow. Well, now, Daisy, Queen of Diamonds Brown, helping us hold it down, as you know, right here live on Soul School Music with Marsha Thompson, we appreciate the shows that you produce. And being the producer of this show, what do you have to ask Mr. Larry Cunningham? Cancer.
I'm Taurus. My name is Daisy, and I like a man who's a man.
I heard that.
No, that's for serious. I love that song. I'm going to love it, and I think that one of the questions that, you told us about how the lead-in came about, and that was wonderful news. When you first heard your recording on the air, that line.
Hello?
Uh-oh, we lost Daisy, so give me a second. She will be right back. Yes, she'll be right back.
Hello?
You know how these phones... Hello,
can
Daisy?
You hear me?
Yeah, there she goes.
All right.
Okay, go ahead, sweetie. Finish your question.
What was your when you first heard the song on the airwaves? What kind of feeling? What did that do? How did that feel?
Well, you know, that's a feeling that it's indescribable, Daisy. I can't really explain it. I tell you what happened was. The record before that ABC released was called I'm So Glad I Took My Time. Although it was a ballad, it told the story of the floaters not jumping out there. As I mentioned to you, the Detroit Emeralds were our big brothers, writer, producers, managers, and they were very good friends with people that Marshall mentioned, such as the Shy Lights, Ray Goodman Brown, who were the Moments at the time, the Stylistics, Joe Simon, people like that. And they had us in those circles. And I never thought of failure. When they first played So Glad I Took My Time, Donnie Simpson was a local DJ in Detroit. And Donnie played this record. And looked like everybody else in Detroit played what Donnie Simpson played. And then when he moved to D.C., he played this record also. And when ABC shipped out the album, which had Float On it, back in those days, they used to ship out all of country western 1 month. The next month, they shipped out the Philharmonic stuff. The following month, they shipped out the R&B stuff.
And they shipped out Float On with the country western stuff. They didn't even know we were with them. ABC, the biggest record company in the world at that time. They didn't know we were with them, and they shipped out this album. And a small story that became history was the fact that a young gentleman in New York at New York University was playing records that night. He had one of those shows where, you know, novices could spin records and things like that, and he had to use the bathroom. And he opened this package, and this record was 11 minutes so long, and he dropped the needle on Float On, and he went to the bathroom.
Get out of here.
When he comes back, no. When he come back from the bathroom, the phone lines were lit up. All the lights, they had 16 phone lines. All of them was blinking. People wanted to know, where did this come from? What planet are these guys from? What kind of music is this? And what's going on? Is it the end of the world and all of this? And not only did that happen in New York, this is how good God has been to myself and the Floaters. The same thing happened in Cleveland, Ohio. We sold 100,000 records in Cleveland, Ohio in 3 days.
Gee whiz.
Wow.
Unheard of.
Wow.
Unheard of. Unheard of. And so to answer Daisy's question is, I never had failure. So I expected it to be a hit. You know,
well,
I mean, we had rehearsed it, and I had gotten so used to, like I said, you know, that's the way we introduced ourselves in our show. So I had no idea it would be the size hit that it was, but I always thought it was worth listening to if we were given the chance to be heard. And like I said, it was a mishap, but we did have an astrologer come in, although we weren't into astrology. That was just a hip thing to say those days. But
sure.
Astrologer came and told us when that record was released, in May of 77, that the planets lined up, the moon was in Jupiter at the time, which evidently was good for the Floaters. The name Floaters was a name that I came up with when I was a teenager, and I thought everything we'll do will have the resonance of floating. Our outfits would be flowing, jackets, pants, whatever would be flowing. Our music would be flowing, soft, delicate sounds. Our musicians would be women. We'd have a full lady band with gowns on. We would have horns and violins. And that's exactly what we set out to do, and that's exactly what we did. I didn't see failure. I never seen failure. The only part of the Floaters situation that we didn't like was the fact that we went from that club that held 68 people, and 6 months later, we were in Carnegie Hall with Brothers Johnson, and they were filming The Wiz at the time. So we had Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Richard Pryor, and Quincy Jones, Diana Ross, all of these people.
Nipsey Russell. Don't forget Nipsey Russell.
No, he didn't come that night.
He
didn't come to Carnegie Hall where we were performing with Brothers Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Quincy Jones had produced their album. So he brung everybody
from the movie set.
He brung everybody over from the movie set. This show, when they opened the ticket sales on Friday morning, all of the tickets were sold out by 4 o'clock. They added a second show on that Sunday. All of those tickets were sold out within 2 hours. They added a third show on the Friday night. It sold out. They added a fourth show Sunday night. And it sold out. And the only reason they didn't add the third day at Carnegie Hall was because the New York Philharmonic was
was already booked to play in there on that Monday. But I say that
wow.
to say, we went from singing the same show that we had performed in this club that held 68 people. We did the same exact show at Carnegie Hall, and we received 4-5 standing ovations during our show.
That's wonderful.
Wow.
Well, you know, when you do a show, you always perform as if you in front of a million people.
A million
you
people.
You never
correct.
Know
That's
who's
correct.
There.
Correct.
And
you never know,
you never know who's in that audience.
Never
That's
know
true.
And like I said, the gentleman, Otis Smith, he had on coveralls and a hat. We didn't know who he was.
Wow. Well, now, we are coming to almost to the close of a wonderful show. But now, Marshall Thompson has a thing about business. 10% show business is 90% business, 10% show. So if you were to tell anyone that wanted to, our up and rising youth that wanted to get into show business, what would you tell them is as far as good advice when it comes to that ratio of 90% business, 10% show? And let's let Marshall Thompson take the head on that, and then you can follow behind him on that, Larry, if you don't mind.
I'd be happy to.
Well, Larry knows. You got to watch out for those everything that's important to you, because you got to remember, when you do concerts, you do shows, everything, you got to take care of that 90% first. The 10% of entertainment is always going to be there. He was born stars. He was born to entertain. But you got to get the education and know how to go read the contracts. You got to know how to get your money before you even hit the stage. You know, not
yes.
pick up after it's over. After the show
that's
is over, guys, get on the helicopter and you're going to see him no more. But
that's exactly right. You know, another thing, if I could add to that, Marshall, I was going to mention it earlier. By us going straight to Carnegie Hall, we didn't do the things that yourself and Eugene and Red and Squirrel did, which was work the different places and meet promoters. And once Float On was not in the top of the charts, we had nowhere to go.
Uh-huh.
We had nowhere to go. See, we went from the very bottom to the very top. We didn't go
Absolutely.
Through the middle. We didn't learn those lessons. We had quite a few situations where we performed and we went to the office to get our money, and the man said, "What money? What money?" Oh, my partner left out the back door with that money, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you know?
we had a guy in Kansas City had all of the money we had to learn, because it took us 10 years to get where we were.
Yeah.
Our first hit record, it took us 10 years to get that. Now, that was give more power to the people, the first million seller. But we did a show in Kansas City. And we went on stage trying to trust the guy with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy
right.
the guy left. When we got on stage,
yeah.
we were looking all over for him. So the guy said he's out there taking a smoke or something. So we knew his car, and he had left the money on top of his bag of all the money to everybody on top of his car. And he pulled off, and all the money was laying on the ground. So we went out there and got all the money. And went back to the theater. And he was looking for his money.
It serves him right.
So
wow.
He paid everybody in the place. Everybody.
Yeah.
And got ours.
Yeah.
And we asked him, "Hey, what money is that? We didn't see no money."
Yeah, right. What money? That's
well, he was about to rip you off.
We ended up giving him back his money. But is this the idea? We learned to make sure we got all our money before he did it. And another thing you have to learn, you never go overseas. You never go overseas for a 50% deposit. Never. When you go overseas, you got all your money before you go, because they can do anything to you over there. Especially in Africa. You got a crazy promoter, He said, "Well, you're gonna get your money. You can take you out there to safari where the tigers and lions are. Okay, step on out there and go get there."
Yeah. All money ain't good money. All money ain't good money. Well, now.
Right on.
That's right. That's right. Now, Larry, tell us. We forgot to ask you about that first successful payday. When y'all got that first payday, what did that feel like? And did you know it or did you blow it? So, did you know to take care of business 90/10, or did you blow it and buy that red Cadillac with that white soft top?
No, I wanted the red Cadillac with the white top, but Marshall can tell you the fellas from the Detroit Emeralds were real sticklers for business. They sent the road manager out with us, and they took our money. In other words, they put our money in escrow for us so that when we weren't working, we still had a weekly salary coming. That was one of the best things that ever happened to the floaters. The fact that we had some people that knew the business, that loved us and were family. Although later on down the line, it might have been some hanky-panky, but at that point, you know, we should have known better. Some of the things that happened to us later on was we went to sleep on it. But originally, the first big paycheck we got was we went on tour with Smokey Robinson. And we got paid, I think it was $4,500, and we went what you call round the mountain. We didn't even pay the road manager, the band. We didn't pay no
one. We lost their mind.
We lost our mind. Yeah, everybody got one-fourth of that $4,500. Yes.
Okay.
Lord. Well, you know what? When we know better, we do better. And so Now, what's on your forecast? We know that you're going to be with Marshall Thompson and the Shy Lights February 10th in Las Vegas.
Yes.
I will see you there. Daisy Brown and I plan on being in the building. And if for some reason that the planets don't line up and we're not there, we want you to float on. But
right.
What's on the forecast for you?
We've been fortunate. We're on something called the Love Jam Tour. In fact, Marshall and the Shy Lights were on there for years. We was on something with the Stylistics, Harold Melvin's Blue Notes, and the Emotions. And we got quite a bit of work off of that. And we're on something called a Valentine's Jam, which is incorporates that Las Vegas date. But we're also on something called Bobby D Productions. Bobby D does a lot of things. We're in California with him, and we're going to Canada with him, and then we do a couple of cities in Mexico. So the floaters are working. You know, I could work every day, but it's not feasible, you know. So we take our time, which is one of the things we learn from people like Marshall. That is, whatever you do for the rest of your life, please don't do it so fast, because the longer you do it, the longer it's going to last.
All right, now, that sounds like a song to me.
That sounds like a song to me, too. Now, that sounds all well and well. We're going to catch up with you and shout out your website so people can log on and go catch up with all these tour dates.
Well, the floaters currently have not a big website up, but they can always go to LarryFloater51@Yahoo. LarryFloater51@Yahoo, and that would be my personal mail, and I answer all of it.
And you have to say
right
that,
now,
Larry, you have to say Yahoo.com. And remind them that floater does not have the S on it.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's Larry Floater, FLOHER, 51. There's no S on it. Larry Floater, 51, at Yahoo. And like I said, that's my personal mail. And thank you for correcting me, Daisy, or letting me know about that. I should have said that. And it has been so nice talking with you, ladies. I appreciate your interest in the floaters. We appreciate the love you've shown us. And believe me, you're getting it back a hundredfold. Thank you.
We love the floaters, and we're going to float on with you.
We definitely appreciate your being here on Soul School Music live on Tribe Family Channel with Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shy Lights. And if you want to visit his website and catch up with his tour, you go to www.chi-lites.info. You can follow this studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Tribe Family Channel and Soul School Music is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. And we are live on Tribe Family Channel. We are honored to have had Larry Cunningham of the Floaters with Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shy Lights. And we want to thank Daisy, the Queen of Diamonds Brown from Uptown, for helping us to co-produce a fabulous show with the Floaters, Larry Cunningham. So, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to tune in. We come back live on Wednesday. Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. And let me see, who do we have coming up next, Miss Daisy Brown? I think we've got the Escorts. Hey. My bad.
We have the Persuaders.
The Persuaders. It's a thin line. Y'all better get back over here on November 22nd, y'all, because it's a thin line, and we're not going to take it kindly if you're not here with us. Right, Daisy?
There you go.
Yes, Marsha Thompson, what are your final words on Soul School Music with Marsha Thompson for our listeners before we go out on Hold On To Your Dreams? What do you want our listeners to know?
Well, we got to say thank you for Larry for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you, been knowing him so many years. Me and Al Perkins used to talk about the group a lot, too, before he passed away. I say, y'all keep on doing it, man. You came up with anytime you got a crossover hit, you will work a lifetime. You know, I'm not saying you're going to work every day, but you will be working a lifetime. You know, you'll be here
thank
and going,
you.
And you'll be playing. So
thank you, Marsha. We love you. We love you. We love you very much, my man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, now, y'all remember to hold on to your dreams. You were live on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson and the Floaters, Larry Cunningham, produced by Daisy, Queen of Diamonds Brown, helping me hold it down. I'm Beverly Black, the creator of Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, Tribe Family Channel, and Gumbo for the Soul International. We want you to remember to hold on to your dreams, and we'll be back on the same Tribe Family Channel, same Tribe Family Station, November 22nd with the Persuaders. So y'all remember to keep it real and keep it live. Signing
thank
off,
you,
Tribe.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Hold on to your dreams. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This song is for the children and their dreams. You can be a lawyer, doctor, and even a president. All you got to do is believe.